Hallelujah. Today I'm going to talk to you about thinking. Thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh," talking about men, "as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As you think in your heart, so are you. And so I want you to just start thinking about that a little bit. How do I see myself? What do I think about myself? How do I view myself? When I look in the mirror, what do I say to myself? And what do I see in myself? See, when you start thinking about yourself, it says the way you think is the way you are. Now, I'm relatively sure the reason most people live defeated lives or have defeat in their life a lot of times is because of the way they think. Amen. Come on. You have to look at how is it I think? How do I view myself? And what do I think about my abilities, my talents, my anointing? Amen. You say, well, I look in the mirror and I don't think I'm very attractive or I'm very handsome. We see, that's what you're thinking. But I promise you there's somebody out there that thinks you're beautiful, and God especially knows you're beautiful. You see, but if you're going along with that thinking, then you'll always have that insecurity in your life that I'm not as pretty as somebody else. Amen. And see, here's the thing. The world wants you to look at the outside. They want you to look at what you think you look at, whatever the people think you look like. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been around some beautiful people. They were literally really pretty, you know. And some guys that were handsome guys in the world's eyes. But when I was around them a little bit, and I saw their talking and the way they behave themselves and their attitudes about things, I realized real quick, this is not a pretty person. This is not a handsome guy. This, matter of fact, this guy's trash. Just by the way he talks and the way he acts and that kind of thing. So you see, it's not, the beauty is not always outward. The person you are is the person that's on the inside. And see, that's your spirit man. And so you have to realize when you're downing yourself, you're downing the spirit man that's on the inside of you. And understand the Holy Ghost is living in there too if you're born again. And so we got to be careful because the way we think will absolutely defeat us. Amen. Amen. Why do you think like boxers and ball teams and all those sports, those athletes, why do you think they trash talk one another? They're trying to get into each other's head and make them start thinking that this guy's tougher than me. Come on now. This person's more talented than me. Now, see, that's what the enemy does. The enemy uses your thinking to defeat you. How do I know that? Well, I've read the book of Genesis, and I've read when Satan came slithering in and begin to question what God had said to Eve, half God said. And he begins to say, oh, that's not what God meant. God knows when you eat of this tree, you'll be like gods. And what he did was get her to start thinking about eating from that tree. He did not make her. It was her because the Bible says then she started looking at the tree. It was a tree to be desired. Right? Now she's starting to think about the thought the devil placed in her head, and what she do? She acts on what she thought and caused the fall of man. The biggest defeat ever in the world. You see, if you're not careful, that's what your thinking can do to you. And so today I'm going to encourage you. I want you to start thinking much more different. Okay? Here, I'm going to say this, and it's going to mess with some of your minds because we have been thinking natural. We have been thinking, you know, about our abilities and stuff. But let me just say this, and I'm going to just throw it out there. We should be thinking on a divine level. See, I got one or two amens because that messes with people when you start talking about speaking on a divine level. Are you saying you're God? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying He's my daddy. Did you just hear what I said? He's my daddy. So if He's my daddy, that means I got my blood from Him. When I got born again, He placed His Spirit in me. See, that's the trouble with us humans. We look and think human all the time. You look and think natural all the time. But the truth is, you are now a supernatural being. See, it's amazing people can believe in aliens, but they can't believe that God can place His Spirit inside a person. Come on now. But God placed His Spirit on the inside of you, and that made you supernatural. Now you are a human being, but yet you've got God on the inside of you. Wait a minute. Seems like I can... Who is it? There's somebody. Let me think. Jesus. 100% man. 100% God. Come on. He's our elder brother. So if God is His daddy, and God is our daddy, then we must be a whole lot alike. So we're supposed to be thinking divinely, not naturally. See, to think naturally is taking the low road. But to think divinely is taking the high road. Come on. To think naturally is thinking, well, I'm just a human being. I'm just on the earth. There's nothing I can do. But to think divinely is to know that I've been seated in heavenly places in Christ. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. That means something. And when I say me, I'm talking about all of us that are born again. So we're to think divinely, not think naturally, because naturally will get you defeated, but divinely will get you over the top. Amen. Let me give you a scripture. I'm going to prove it to you by the Word of God, okay? That pastor up there, he's crazy. He's speaking blasphemy. Come on, let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't get the spirit of the world from God. I was born into this world and have that natural nature to me because I was born here on this earth. God did not give us a spirit of the world. You were born into the world. Okay, but listen to what it says. He didn't give us the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given of us of God. Do you know what God has given you? He gave you the Spirit. His Spirit is the same Spirit that moved on the faces of the earth and created everything that you see now. That's the Spirit that's on the inside of you. And you walk around acting like you're a nothing and a nobody. You compare yourself to the world and people in the world and think that they're better than you. Come on, church. You've got to understand something. Because of what God has done in you, you are now royalty. And when somebody looks at you that's not born again and think they're better than you, they don't even have a clue who you are. They don't understand because they're natural-minded and they think natural. You guys, a lot of folks going around idolizing these actors. Some of them can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but you think they're all that. Because they got a pretty face. See, that's natural thinking again. They don't have anything on you. I'll challenge any one of them. They've been trained in acting. I'll challenge any one of them. I'll take them to a strip mine, and I guarantee I can outrun a piece of equipment more than any of them can. Well, who's better then? I can outdo them on a strip mine. They might outdo me behind the camera. But does that make them better than me? No, it just means they can do something better than I can. Something. But not everything. You see, so you can't look at that. It's natural looking to compare yourself to somebody natural. You are supernatural. The divine Spirit of God's on the inside of you. So when you think, you ought to be thinking supernaturally. You ought to think divinely. Let me move on. I gotta move on with this. Been given freely. We know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Now listen to this. What I'm speaking right now is not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, natural people can't understand what I'm saying right now. They don't get it. They can't get it because they don't know the Spirit of God and they're not acquainted with Him. But you do. You know it. You should get it. It ought to trigger on the inside. Inside you right now, your spirit man ought to be stirring up when you start thinking about being supernatural. And thinking supernaturally. Thinking higher than the natural realm. Come on, church. You got to understand something. We're living on earth. We're living in the natural realm. But if God would pull back the curtain, you would see all around us the spiritual realm that's full of angels. It's full of demons. You'd see really the real world. Because this world's just temporary. So it says here that, you know, we compare spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I don't care if they're lawyers, doctors. I don't care if they're presidential candidates, or if they're the president himself, you cannot be natural and be able to discern something that's spiritual. And just because you go to a church somewhere don't make you spiritual. Amen. Knowing the Word, knowing, having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what will make you spiritual. He goes on and says, "But he that's spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Everybody just say that. I have the mind of Christ. Is that what the Bible says? Let me give this to you in the Message. Help you just a little bit here. Verses 14 through 16. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything that God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Man, I read that and I just about shouted. See, people talking about you don't know what they're talking about because they don't have any right to judge you because they are not spiritual. So your critics that are making fun of you and mocking you and saying all kinds of things, they have no right to do it because they don't know what they're talking about. Now listen, Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what He's doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. Man, isn't that good? Anybody know the mind of God? Jesus knows. And if Jesus knows, we know because we have the mind of Jesus, the mind of Christ. See, so when you start talking about some supernatural things and you start talking about, people think you're stupid. They think you've lost it. Oh, they just lost it. I never heard nothing like that. The reason you ain't never heard nothing like that is because you always heard the natural side. See, a lot of preachers preach the Bible like it's a storybook. like it's a history book. I like to preach line upon line, precept upon precept, but you have to understand the spiritual application of what you're preaching. It can't be just read out and tried to explain in the natural, because it ain't about the natural. It's about what God's doing in the spirit realm. And that's why the Bible is a timeless, ageless book and will always be relevant, because it's always now, in the present, when you read it. Yeah, but now you're reading stories happened 2,000 years ago. Yes, and they are a schoolmaster for us. There's still a lesson for us, and so that we can understand. Do you remember when David went out there to see his brothers when the battle was going on? The giants coming out in the field. He's coming out and he's calling, "You send a man over here. If he whips me, we'll be your servants. If I whip him, you'll be my servants." And the whole army of Israel's hiding out, shaking in their boots. David comes, his father sends him to bring some food and stuff to see how the war's going. His brothers get mad at him. "What you come out here for?" You know, David looks at him and says, "They're not a cause. I'm out here for a reason." Now here's the thing about this. David brought food to his brothers. That's the reason his father sent him there. But when he got there and he heard that Philistine come out and defile the armies of God, now all of a sudden there's a spiritual reason he's there. He went there for a natural reason, but then the spirit man kicked in and he just, inside him, it rose up and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of God?" See, that was the spirit man talking in him. Why? Because he spent his time out talking to God. He might have been watching sheep in the natural, but in the spirit, he's singing songs to God, writing songs to God. He's worshiping and praising God. He's developed his relationship with God to the point that he trusts Him with anything. Let me just read a little bit from that. Let's jump over with me if you want to follow. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. This is where they told Saul what David said. He said, "Bring him to me." David comes in there, and now David's in front of Saul, and he's the one going to go out, and Saul's looking at him. And here's what he said. Let's look here in verse 32. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Now look at this. Here's David. What's he said? "Don't be afraid. The army, the whole army's afraid." And here's David here saying, "No reason for nobody to be afraid. I'm here." Did you hear what I just said? Do you understand that you and the Spirit of God in you, anywhere you go, makes you the authority in that place? I don't care if every devil from hell is around you. You have the spiritual authority because it's you and God standing there. David understood that. Don't let anybody's hearts fail. I'm here. Come on, can you see this in front of the king? The army's hid. And here's David. Now, you know, the Bible describes David as small and ruddy and a fair countenance. That's the way the Bible describes him. So he's doing, don't let anybody's heart fail. You know, I'm here. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." See, he's looking at the physical part of David. And by looking at David, a youth, you know, good-looking young man, apparently, he says, "You're not able. He's been trained since his youth to be a man of war." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Do you hear that, church? Do you hear the way he thought about himself? Everybody looked at David's physical appearance. But on the inside of him was the heart of a victor. Because he knew, if the Lord be with me, and if the Lord be for me, who can be against me? And see, that's the kind of thinking you got to have. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what you're facing. You have to understand that the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. And that's the way you have to think about yourself. That's the way you have to think about the situation. God is with me, therefore I cannot be defeated, and I'm sure not going to quit. But you got to have that kind of thinking. You can't see yourself defeated before you ever get there. You got to see yourself as the victor. You got to see yourself as the winner. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. David's attitude was there. He had that attitude that I'm a winner. It doesn't matter. If God's with me, it won't change nothing. Because I'll go out there and do the same thing to him that I did to the lion and the bear. Now, I thought about this and I've used it as an illustration before, but it just so much, since we're talking about thinking, it so much just kind of came along. How many of you remembers the story of the little engine that could? Several of you do, and some of you don't even have a clue. The story goes that there's a train that's pulling carloads of toys and food for the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain. And one day the train's on its way there and it tears up. It quits running, the engine does. And so now the toy clown and all those that are there, they're concerned, how are we ever going to get over to the boys and girls on the other side of the mountain? And about that time, a big passenger train comes up. And they flag him down. And they start talking to the engine. They say, would you please take us across the mountain so we can get over to the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain? And the passenger train says, I'm a passenger train. And I pull cars that have important people in them. I have cars that have food in them, and I have cars that people can sit back and relax. I'm way too important to pull you guys across the hill. See, there are folks in the church that think they are above everybody else. They think they weigh a lot more important than what they really are. They're legends in their own minds. So he went on. In a few minutes, here came another one. Here came a freight train. And of course, they were excited. Here comes somebody else. Maybe they'll take us. And they flag him down. Would you carry us and take us across the mountain over to the good little boys and girls on the other side of the mountain? He said, I'm a freight train. I carry important equipment back and forth across the mountain. I don't have time to fool you. Because my work is way more important than that. My work is way more important. See, there are folks in the church that think their weight or their work is way, way more important than God. How would I feed my family? How would I... Believe God. Trust God. Live by faith. It's not your job keeping you anyway. It's God keeping you. He gave you the strength, the breath, and the ability to do the job you do. If He didn't do that, you'd be laying flat on your back somewhere. I'm way too important. Way too busy. My work is too important. I can't take you. And so he went on. In a few minutes, here comes another train. Y'all enjoying the Aesop's Fables? Another train comes, and it's an older train. It's rusty, and it comes clickety-clackety down the track, and they flag him down, and they said, Would you please take us across the mountain so that we can get over to the good little girls and boys on the other side of the mountain? And the train says, no, I don't think I can. I'm just so old and tired. I'm just barely going to make it back to the station, I think. So I can't do that. And he went on down the track, and as he went down, they could hear him saying, I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. There's folks in the church think they're too old to do anything. You're not too old. As long as there's breath in your body, you're able to do something for God, because it's not you doing it, it's God doing it through you. So I just want to encourage you. Think you're old and washed up? No, you're not. Have you not read the Bible? God likes to use folks that are pretty old. Right? Come on. He likes some wisdom in a house. Come on. But he couldn't. I cannot. I cannot. And while they're there, they're really discouraged, and they're just they don't know what to do. What are we going to do now? And then all of a sudden, here comes this little train. This little engine comes up through there, and they flag him down. They said, would you take us across the mountain? And that little engine says, I've never been across the mountain. My job is to just move cars around in the yard when they need to be moved. That's what I do. And they said, would you take us across the mountain? He said, I'll try. And so they hooked on and took off. And that little engine started straining against that. And as he began to strain, you've got to help me a little bit here. As he began to take off, he started doing, I think I can. I think I can. And he's straining with everything that he's got. And as he does it, he continues, I think I can. And he starts across the mountain. I think I can. I think I can. And as the story goes, as they get through there, he says it, and then he starts to get to the top. And as he starts across the top, he changes and says, I thought I could. 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 And he takes them on into the village. See, here's the thing, church. If you think you can, you can. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The little engine kept saying, I think I can. See, his willingness to try was the beginning. Because most people, you ask them to do something, they say, I can't. I can't do that. If you don't try, you can't. I had a teacher back in school, and if you said, you know, she'd tell you to do something, if you said, I can't, she'd say, I can't, never could, do nothing. And that's true. See, because if you're never willing to try, you can't. But you have to think on the level that I can. I can do this. Thank God for good teachers. We got a bunch of them in this church. And I pray each one of you just encourage your students that they can. That they can. So when we see that, I love that little story, because he has that attitude, I think I can. And then when he accomplished it, I thought I could. See, it wasn't easy for that little engine. He had to strain. But I'm going to tell you something. Nobody said that it would be easy. For you to change the way you think is not easy. But the I can attitude is what will give you the victory. It's hard for you to go. Our naturalness, our natural abilities and all that, we've been trained and we've been conditioned all our life to think that way. But now that we're born again, we have to start thinking on that higher plane, on that higher level. And that's hard for us, because we're still trying to keep grounded. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though you got to have some common sense, you better have some spiritual sense. Come on, you got to be able to think above this natural, because now that you're born again, now that the Spirit of God's on the inside of you, you're more than natural. And so your thinking has got to be that way. When you start thinking that way, though, you'll be misunderstood. How do I know that? Well, in John chapter 2, verse 18, I will. Let's just go to it, because I want you to see it. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Jesus answered, said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, see here, let me help you a little bit. Jesus says, "Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it back." What did the Jews immediately do? They began to think in the natural. All they could see was brick and mortar, and they said, "Well, it's been 46 years. They've been building this thing. It took that long to build it, and you're going to build it back in 3 days?" See, when you start talking about what God says about you, when you start speaking out of your mouth faith around natural people, you'll be misunderstood. When your nose is snotty, right? And your throat's sore and hoarse, and you're saying, "I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name," natural thinkers will say, "Yeah, you look like you're healed to me. You need to go to the doctor." Well, you might ought to go to a doctor. Ain't nothing wrong with going to a doctor, but you still don't change your faith confession. You're still thinking on a higher level. The healing power of God's in my body. By His stripes, according to the Word, I am healed and you're healed. So my thinking is what the Word says. Now, what my body says, the natural and how I'm feeling, ain't got nothing to do with that. See, that just messed with some of you right there. Again, we're thinking spiritual. We're thinking on a divine level. We're thinking on above level. So the natural things that are going on can't influence the spiritual. You're the healed of God no matter how you feel. You're the healed of God no matter what the doctor's report says. "Yeah, but I've got it right here on paper. The doctor says I got this." Well, whose report are you going to believe, Isaiah says? I believe the report of the Lord, won't you? Come on, church. You see, that's thinking on this higher level. You need to start seeing yourself that way. God sees you that way. Why won't you? You need to see yourself as the favorite person on your job. "Yeah, but a lot of people don't care whether they like you or not." Remember, the natural can't judge the supernatural. Amen. They ain't got nothing there. Understand this, that God can take you from the very bottom to the very top just like that. But it's because I believe. I think I can. Come on, church. I think I can. Your attitude has to be that of a winner. That of one with God's favor. That of one that I can't be defeated, and I can't lose this. Come on now. That's your attitude, and that's what needs to be spoke out of your mouth all the time. Not what you feel, not what people look at you. "Man, you sure look bad. You sick?" Come on now. "No, I'm not sick. I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name." Come on now. Remember, they looked at David and said, "You can't go up against that giant. You can't defeat him." David said, "Listen." Right? Come on. Saul did everything in the world to try to get David to do things in the natural. Even gave him his armor. David said, "No, I've not proved that. I know what me and God can do with my sling. I'm not worried about your armor." David said, I slew the lion, slew the bear. As the Lord be with me, I'll do the same thing to this Philistine. Did you know he said, if the Lord be with me? Anybody got the Lord with them in this house? Come on, church. If the Lord is with you, then nothing can defeat you. I can. I can. I can do all things. I can. I think I can. I think I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Does your Bible say that? If your Bible says that, then it's not a lie. It's the truth. And it's what God says to you about you. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you, but it's all about attitude. You've got to have that attitude like David had. You've got to have an attitude that I can do this. See, people will try to gravitate to their natural level, but you've got to make yourself go up. When it comes to salvation, folks do the same thing. They gravitate, you know, to the natural. They'll say things like, well, I won't be able to have any fun if I get saved. I can't live the Christian life because I want to live out my life. I want to have fun while I live. Well, you see, that's natural thinking. Because I'm telling you something, I'm having a ball. I'm living a better life now than I've ever lived in my life. And I don't expect it to get any less. I expect it to get better. Why? Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Come on. I'm living my life through the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. People say things like this when it comes to getting saved. They'll say, well, I've got plenty of time. See, that's natural thinking. I don't care how young you are, you have no clue how much time you have. And if you're old, don't be saying, well, I won't be around long. No, you're going to be around. You're going to live and not die, declare the works of the Lord. Quit thinking in the natural and start thinking in the divine. See, here's the truth of the matter. You can have a great, great time living for the Lord. Now, you can't get involved in all that junk of the day, but you got to understand, they may you what the world and the flesh calls a good time right now may look like that. And it is pleasing to the flesh. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But you've got to understand, those folks are on their way to hell and they're going to burn for an eternity. Does that sound like fun to you? See, that's a temporary thing. But we're talking about eternity. And yes, you're going to have fun. I can do anything I want to that person ought to do. Come on now. Because a lot of the junk they're into, person people ought not do anyway. Come on, the drugs are killing their body. Alcohol's killing their liver. Come on now, church. You know, and they think they're having a good time, but what they're doing is having a good time killing themselves. And the truth is, living for God is awesome. It's awesome to know when you lay your head on the pillow at night, if I don't wake up on this side, see you on the other side. I'll be in heaven. But the wonderful thing is, you can just thank God. Every night I thank God for a peaceful night's sleep. See you tomorrow, God. Why? Because it's all good. I'll see Him one way or another. I either see Him here from the earth and thank Him for another day, or I'll be face to face with Jesus. But to think that you've got all the time, all that don't... No. What we have is right now. You're breathing right now. Right this moment. See, you can't let your thinking cause you to miss out on what God has. Whether it's your salvation, or whether it's a blessing from the Lord, or whether it's a promotion on a job, or whatever it is, your thinking has to line up with the Word of God. And when it lines up with the Word of God, it's going to happen, church. I'm living proof that if you'll think big, God will give you big. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that's working in us. When you look around and see everything, it was thought about. It was in my thinking. God did this. But I did not limit Him by thinking small. And I'm still not limiting Him. It ain't stopped. We're still thinking. See, some of you think, well, this is it. It's going to be like this, I guess, till Jesus comes in. Listen, folks. We don't limit God by circumstances out here. People may not want to come to church right now. They may be hesitant. They might not think it's necessary. But all it takes is one snap of the Lord's finger and all of a sudden everybody be begging to get in your house. Amen. There's things that are looming out there that people don't have a clue of because they go around senseless. Worried about the next fix. Worried about the next high. Worried about this. Worried about that. When fingers are literally on the trigger of nuclear bombs and they don't have a clue. See, the world's clueless because it cannot spiritually discern what's going on in the world. The great battle of good and evil is taking place. In that realm that I told you about that's out there, that's all around us, there's spiritual battle taking place there and it ends up manifesting on the earth. Thank God we know who Jesus is. Thank God we have Jesus in our life. Thank God that we're thinking like He thinks. And because of that, God bless us. Would you stand and let's pray. Father, thank You so much, God, that You're helping us, God, to think on a different level. God, that we're doing it because we know who You are. And it's not on based on our abilities and who we are. But it's based upon You and Your abilities, Father, because it's what Your Word declares. And Father God, we know Your Word's truth. We know You're not a man that could lie. And so, Father God, we believe it. We believe it. I don't care if everybody calls us crazy, Lord. We believe Your Word because we know that Word is true. And if it's not true, then there is no hope for the world. But it is true. And there is hope in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray right now for every person that their thinking will begin to move up to a higher level. I pray right now if there's anybody here, Lord God, that doesn't know You as their personal Savior. Anybody here that has not been born again, has not been saved. Lord, that today will be the day that they will believe that You were crucified on a cross. They will believe that You were placed in a tomb. And on the third day, You rose again. And they will confess You as their Lord and become born again this day. Father, I give You glory and thank You for that. In Jesus' name, everybody receives that. Say, amen. If you're in this place, and that's you, if you've never been born again, if you're in this place, and maybe you just need to rededicate your life back to God. Maybe you've not been in relationship with God, and you say, you know what? I need to get that fixed. I want to give you an opportunity to come.